Seated. Take your Bibles. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 1. 2 Kings chapter 1. And I think tonight will be not only timely, but good for us. And I think you'll enjoy this little Bible study. 2 Kings chapter 1. And keep your Bibles open. We're going to read the first 8 verses right now. But we'll be referring to many of them throughout the Bible study tonight. Let's begin with verse number 1. I'll read through verse number 8. You follow along silently. Then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. And Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, Go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. The angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, Arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say unto them, Is it not because there is not a god in Israel that you go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, Thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but thou shalt surely die. And Elijah departed. When the messengers turned back unto him, he said unto them, Why are you now turned back? And they said unto him, There came a man up to meet us, and said unto us, Go, turn again unto the king that sent you, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, It is not because there is not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron. Therefore thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And he said unto them, What manner of man was he which came to meet you, and told you these words? And they answered him, He was an hairy man, and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, It is Elijah the Tishbite. You have to understand where we are. If you remember the last Wednesday night when I taught about when Elijah saw Ahab, he told Ahab that God was going to kill him and to destroy his family and remove his family from ruling forever and ever. But God said he would not do it that day. 3 years have passed since 2 Kings chapter 21, where that story was at. And in 2 Kings 22, you find out that Ahab goes to battle and is killed in battle. While he is killed, and he actually was wounded grievously, they get him back to near his home, and he eventually expired in his chariot. And as they hosed out the chariot, the dogs came and licked up his blood. Do you remember what Elijah told Ahab would happen? He said that the dogs would lick his blood. It happened exactly the way God said. Not Elijah, the way God said. Elijah just translated the message. Now, here in 2 Kings chapter 1, you have the story of a king named Ahaziah. Ahaziah had fallen sick, and he asked his servants to go inquire. He sent some messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron. Now, everybody listen to me very carefully here. He said, go find out whether this false god, now he didn't call him a false god, but he worshipped Beelzebub, said, find out if he says I'll live or die through this. Well, an angel came to Elijah and said, look, there's messengers from the king Ahaziah coming to the god of Ekron, and they're trying to find out if Ahaziah is going to live. He said, cut them off and tell them, since you didn't seek the god of Israel, the true and living God, go just realize, because you didn't seek him, Jehovah God, you're going to die. So Elijah gets up, he goes, he meets these messengers. He tells them what God said. These messengers turn around and go back to the king, and the king says, why are you back so fast? They said, well, we met someone who told us what God said, and he said, well, what did he say? And he said that because you sought Beelzebub instead of the true and living God, that you're going to die. Now that's paraphrased, all right? And he said, "Who told you this?" And they said, "Well, he was a hairy man, and he had a leather girdle about his waist." He said, "It's Elijah." Oh, no. Now, you have to understand something and look at me, if you will. Beelzebub is another name for Satan. These were, they call it the god of Ekron, but in the god's name was Beelzebub. Beelzebub is another name for the devil. The devil has many different names given to him, one of which is Beelzebub. By the way, I'm just not going to go there. That's another sermon, and we're not going to hit that one tonight. All right? You're very welcome. Elijah asked why they did not seek a true man of God. He asked these messengers, "Why didn't you go seek a true man of God?" And they said, "Well, the king sent us to the god of Ekron, the god Beelzebub. By the way, have you noticed that the Satanist church is now against the state of Texas because of their abortion stance? It ought to tell you something when the devil's for abortion. The Satanist church is protesting Texas. Go hurt us. A bunch of people in Portland, Oregon said that Oregon was going to protest and ban people from going to Texas. And some of the leaders said, "Ho, ho, 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 back off a second here. We better do a study and find out how much money we're going to lose before we do that." And they backed it up real quick. They said that they were there to obey the king. These servants talk to Elijah. Elijah says, "Look, just go back and tell him he's going to die. He did not seek the true and living God. He's seeking a false God. And because of that, he is going to stay sick and he's going to die from the sickness that he has." Now, I find it amazing. Look at verse number 8 again. And they answered, he said, "What manner of man was he which met thee and which spake these words?" And they answered him, "He was an hairy man and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins." And he said, "It is Elijah the Tishbite." Elijah's reputation had gone before him. And by the way, Ahaziah knew what that meant. We'll see here in just a moment. Ahaziah then tries to get Elijah to come to him, tries to get some mercy from Elijah. Look at verse number 9. Then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50, and he went up with him, and behold, he sat on top of an hill, and he spake unto him, "Thou man of God, the king hath said, come down." I love what happens here. Look at verse number 10. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, "If I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. We used to use a term in Bible college. You got burnt. They literally got burnt. All right. The king sends this captain of 50 soldiers and the 50 soldiers and says, "Go get Elijah and bring him back." So they go in all of their military gear and stand on a hill and call for Elijah and said, "Look, the king wants you. Now you come with us." And he said, and they called him the man of God. I love that. They knew what he was. They knew he was a man of God. Now watch this. He said, "If I be a man of God, then let fire fall from heaven and consume thee." And the fire came from heaven and consumed them. That doesn't mean that they fell down dead and just burnt. The word consume means there was nothing left. They were vaporized. They just turned to ashes. Poof. There was nothing left. It was more than cremation. I mean, it was just vaporization. And it was not spontaneous combustion either. So word gets back that these 50 did not come back. So look at verse number 11. Again, also he, meaning the king, sent him another captain of 50 with his 50. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus hath the king said, come down quickly. Now, how would you like to be that second dude? Look at verse number 12. And Elijah answered and said unto them, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. There's 102 people that off the face of the earth in just two little statements. Guess what? Ahaziah was pretty stubborn. Look at verse number 13. And he sent again a captain of the third 50 with his 50. Now look at me. One guy goes out, leads 50 guys, gets burnt to smithereens, oblivion, and gone. The next guy comes with 50 soldiers, goes out, and the same thing happens. Guess who gets the short straw? I would be leaving, trust me. This third guy, look at verse 13, and the third captain of 50 went up and came, I love this, and fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. He came humbly. He got on his knees and said, Elijah, please don't kill me. And please don't kill these men. We're just obeying the king. Would you please not kill us? If you do, make it fast. Look at verse number 14. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burnt up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him, be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. Can you imagine how that third captain of 50 men felt? Can you imagine the relief? Can you imagine being one of those soldiers? You know, you talk about walking into a suicide mission, watching 102 guys lose their life right ahead of you, and yeah, go ahead, you're next. You go. I can imagine how they must have felt. But the angel of God came to Elijah and said, it's all right, go with him. You've sent your message, now go. Look at verse number 16. And he said unto him, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, is it not to because there is no god in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore, thou shalt not come down off that bed on which thou art gone up, but ye shalt surely die. So he died according to the word of the Lord which Elijah had spoken, and Jehoram reigned in his stead in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, because he had no son. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaziah, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? Now look at me. Elijah does go with this third captain. He goes before the king, and he said, because you didn't seek the God of Israel, the true and living God, the bed on which thou hast gone, you are surely going to die. And the Bible says that Ahaziah died according to the word of the Lord by Elijah. Done. Now, listen very carefully here. I've got just three short little points, but they're pretty powerful that I want to give you tonight. Number one, political leaders should seek God's advice. Good leaders should seek God's advice. Any kind of good leader should seek God's advice, not man's advice. You have to understand something. I'm going to read you a statement I wrote. What right does a man have to claim people as his own? He shares my last name, but he's not mine. The day he left my home to live on his own, he is not mine. Say, well, you'll always be his dad. No, I will always have been his father paternally, but it doesn't mean that the position dad goes with him eternally as far as my influence over him. There's a term in the Bible, God says, when a couple gets married, you leave and cleave. When they leave and cleave, guess what? You're no longer in charge, they are. We spent about four days with Michael and Mindy. They don't run their home necessarily the way I would run my home. You say, what'd you do, preacher? Kept my mouth shut and followed what they did. It's their home, not mine. Not one time did they hear me say, well, I wouldn't do it that way. None of my business. Michael had asked for some advice, and I said, well, if it were me, I would do this, but how about you get Mindy involved and see what she wants, and then let's see what we can do. They had some outside landscaping work that needed done. It had been overgrown for about 10 years, it looked like, and we took about 20 truckloads of brush out of there. You'd be proud of me. I had a 12-inch battery-operated chainsaw, and I cut 40 loads of brush. I was begging God for Brother Barnes and a chainsaw. Let me tell you. Oh, it was miserable. But we got through it. And they hold brush and hold brush and hold brush and hold brush. We literally had a pile of brush about the size of one of these section of chairs, higher than your head, full of brush. And I mean, it was massive. It was great. Mindy said, wow. I couldn't see that, but I see where you're going with this, Dad. And all of a sudden, she started getting some ideas. I said, now, Michael, you have a choice. Next fall, you can come out here and prune this, or you can wait a couple years, and you got to do all this all over again. He said, it's going to be worth a couple hours. I said, exactly. I said, but that's up to you. I did it once. I ain't doing it again. And we talked through several scenarios. Now, wait a minute. I wouldn't necessarily choose decorating the way she did. But it's not my house, it's hers. I wouldn't necessarily choose some of the things they do schedule-wise, but it's not my schedule, it's theirs. Say, what'd you do, preacher? Kept my mouth shut and followed the flow. Say, why? Their house, not mine. Say, why? There was times, you say, but she's your daughter. Yeah, and if I wanted to do something, I asked him first. I didn't say, well, I'm going to do this. Is that all right? No, I went to him and said, I'd like to do this. What do you think? Sure, Dad, whatever you want. Your dad. No, your husband. That trumps Dad. Just so you know. You say, that's a foreign concept to me, preacher. It's a biblical concept. Leave and cleave. Now, I'm glad I still have my dad. But don't take this the wrong way. I'm 54 years old. I don't have to obey him. I choose to honor him, but I don't have to obey him. You say, are you being bad? No, I'm being biblical. Everybody doing okay? All right, I'm having fun here. What right does one man have to claim somebody else as his own? My wife and I are one, but she's not a slave. Don't take this the wrong way. You know, my wife doesn't have to do what I say. Now, we choose to live along in harmony. Sometimes she'll say, honey, I don't think that's the best way. I've learned that means back up and look at this and listen to what she has to say. You say, well, but I'm the man. Yeah, and you can make stupid mistakes without listening to her. Trust me. Sometimes God gave you her to keep you from being such a stinking rockhead. Amen? Ladies? All right, go ahead. It's all right. Don't worry, it's coming back. Political leaders would be doing well if they would seek God and not other countries. Not other ways of religion, so to speak. Good leaders will lead God's way, not their own way. As a husband, as a dad, as a pastor, as a friend, etc. My way is not the issue. What is best for the other person is the issue. Last Friday, there's a man in Brother Dorsey's church, Brother Ray Hill. He was a preacher for about 56 years. He had passed away, and the funeral was Friday. Well, I knew Brother Ray a little bit. We went to the funeral. My wife and my daughter were getting food ready for afterwards. Well, Brother Ray's got three sons and a daughter, and all three sons were pastors. We had a 2.5-hour funeral. Yeah, it was the longest funeral. I don't mean this offensively, but Miss Kim, I ain't never been to a black funeral that long. I mean, it was for, we had four speakers. Oh, and each one took a while. Oh, yeah, I'm only going to take a few minutes. Filthy lying Southern Baptist preachers. Their few minutes and my few minutes is a whole different, you know, talk to my sitter for a while and find out how much a few minutes is. Lord, have mercy. Wait a minute. They were finally done, and we were going to serve the family. There's about 30 or so family members that we were going to serve a meal to, and I had gotten over to where the food was, of course. And I told my wife, I said, is anybody serving drinks? They said, no, they can just go get them themselves. They said, come on. So her and I went over, and she's fixing the ice. I'm pouring drinks and giving them to everybody, and we went around after everybody had finally gotten the food and was seated, and we were filling everybody's glasses up. They didn't know we weren't members of that church. Didn't tell them, didn't care. Got done, and they were thanking us and thanking Brother Dorsey, and Brother Dorsey looked at me after they left. He said, Brother Bush, what were you doing serving? I said, I had to do something. I can't watch people do this, and I got to do something. He said, but they thought you're part of our church. I said, good, then I did it the right way. Now, wait a minute. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be in life? It's what my friend needed. That was a hard service for him. He loved Brother Ray, first of all. Second of all, that's the first funeral in the church auditorium since Sarah died. It was a hard day on him walking out and seeing that casket sitting there. I knew how hard it was for him. So I stepped up to try to help a little bit here, a little bit there. It wasn't what I wanted to do. How'd you like to go on vacation, go to a funeral? But it's what needed done to support my friend, to help my friend and family. Love says, I'll meet the other person's need. It doesn't matter if it's my way or not. It does not matter if it's my way or not. I'm not to seek the world's advice. It's false, it's deadly, it's wicked, and it's satanic. Why in the world do we want to go to the world for our advice? Mrs. Lopez was making a statement a little while ago before church. She said something I hadn't even thought of, and it was perfect. One of her doctors had questioned her about whether she was going to be vaccinated or not. It's not a sin if you are. It's not a sin if you're not. But she said, well, can you give me the vaccine? Oh, no, you got to go to Walmart or one of these places to get it. And she said, well, why is it that a doctor can't give it to me? Hello? If it's so important, why can't the doctor give it to you? Good point. I was like, that's another bullet in the chamber, amen? I'm not to go to the world to learn how to rear kids. I'm not to read Dr. Spock and Dr. Mess 'em Up. Have you seen what they call normal kids these days? God knows I don't. I want an abnormal one. I have one. I have three. You shouldn't get your marriage advice from lost people. you shouldn't get your emotional stability or your psychological advice from lost people. Well, then I'll go to James Dobson. He's a Christian psychologist who was trained in the same psychology as the world was, whose buildings were paid for by the Catholic Church. Mr. Hocus Pocus on the family. Please don't take this the wrong way. I don't even think you ought to get your financial advice, all of it, from the world. You say, why? God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Oh, I've sent people to financial planners and financial people to help them, but I've gotten them squared away financially so that they could do that. Amen. They get the core of their advice here and then go elsewhere. I'm just going to say this. Politicians are getting, or are, at the mentality that they serve us by doing what they think is best for us. Wrong type of politician. They don't serve us by doing what they think is best for us. They need to do what's right, period. Amen. I've got to hurry. Number two, Elijah was not a respecter of persons. I want you to notice something. Elijah wasn't intimidated by King Ahab. Elijah wasn't intimidated by King Ahaziah. Elijah was not disrespectful. Not one time do you find Elijah disrespectful to any of them. But he was also not willing to cater to them. We'll have a politician here on Sunday. Can I tell you something? Our bus kids will get treated with the same respect as the politician will. The poorest person that walks through the door with that's not dressed the way you think they should be dressed will be greeted with the same cordialness, love, and tenderness as what some people would call a big shot. Everybody shoots the same shot here as far as I'm concerned. As I was taught, the ground's level at the cross, amen? We're all sinners. Doesn't matter how much you got in your wallet or how little, we're all the same in God's eyes. Elijah was not intimidated by military leaders, but he was also not disrespectful. You don't find Elijah disrespectful to these captains of 50. He just, they came to him and said, thou man of God, the king wants you and you're going to come with us. And he said, well, if I be a man of God, then let fire fall from heaven. Boom, done. He didn't say, you bunch of lousy reprobates, you bunch of heathen, you're following a wicked violent, and didn't get in an argument with them. He just said, well, if I am a man of God, then this is what God's going to do, and thus saith the Lord, and it happened. Listen to this statement. Elijah stood on principles and not against people. Let me say that again. Elijah stood on principle. He did not stand against people. He let his principles decide where he stood, and he didn't make it personal. But if it hair-lipped the king, so be it. If it hair-lipped Jezebel, so be it. If it hair-lipped Ahaziah, so be it. He was standing on principle, may I say, whether I agree or disagree with the president isn't the issue. I will stand for what is right. I won't be disrespectful. You say, why is that? Because I'm standing on principle. If I become disrespectful, I'm not standing on principle. We need people to stand on principles of the freedom of America and biblical principle, not just stand against politicians. We got people, Christian people, that are fighting this battle the wrong way. They're standing against politicians, but they're not standing on right principle. They've made it personal. No, there are politicians. They don't stand for anything except the wrong direction. I get it. Pelosi, Schumer, AOC, all that crowd. And I understand that, but it's not personal. If they walked through the door, I would treat them with respect. You say, well, I wouldn't. That shows you've made it personal and not principle. If the president of the United States walked through the door, if they pushed him in a wheelchair through the door, and they told him what to say, I would still treat him with respect, but I would stand against him on principle. not make it personal. Now, Elijah didn't soften the message for the king. Did you know that the politicians that'll be here Sunday will hear the same message that you all hear all the time? You say, "Preacher, are you really going to preach?" Yep. But I'm not going to preach any harder than I normally do. I'm not going to say anything different than I would normally say, because I don't give a flip who's here. I never know who's going to be here anyway. Elijah needed courage to do this. Look at verse 15. "And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him, be not afraid of him." Everybody look at me. Did you know, to stand on principle, it takes courage? Not to shut a church down during COVID took courage. Y'all said, "Preacher, I'm so glad we did that." Yeah, and every Sunday and every Wednesday we had church. I was wondering if the officials were going to come and I'm going to have to do battle or go to jail. That's not a pressure for you to carry. That was for me to carry, but we still stayed open. By the way, it was legal to stay open. We didn't violate any laws, and the governor even said that multiple times. Now, wait a minute. I decided we weren't going to cave. But I did say, you might have to come to the jail to have church. I'll preach from my jail cell. I wasn't really kidding. The potential was there. Everybody doing all right? It sometimes takes a little bit of courage to stand on principle. Number three, and I'll finish very quickly. This is one I want you to get tonight. Our decisions in life affect many people. Our decisions in life affect many people. Ahaziah was worshiping the God he wanted to worship. He was worshiping the way he wanted. This philosophy of go to the church of your choosing is from the devil himself. Shouldn't be the church of your choosing. How about the church of God's choosing? Did you know that because he chose to worship the way he chose, that he wanted, he destroyed his own life? When he became ill, he sought the religion he wanted, and because he didn't seek what God had for him, God said, "That's it, you're done, you're going to die." It's that simple. It caused the immorality of a nation. Samaria became a very vile kind of people. Do you remember the Samaritans? They're from Samaria. They were labeled for the rest of life, so to speak, for hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years as this crossbreed of people that were lesser than dogs. By the way, there were 102 military men and their families affected by one bad decision. Remember the captain of 50? And the second captain of 50? That's 51 the first time and 51 the second time. That's 102 and all their families. If they each had a wife and two children and those 102 men, that's over 400 people that were affected by it. One bad decision. Our decisions affect long term. I wonder, I wrote three things down here. I'll say it and I'll be done. Where would I be had my parents not gotten saved and gotten in church? Where would I be had my dad's family not moved on to 10th Street in Canton, Ohio? And my aunt, my dad's sister, led my mom to the Lord out on the street one day playing. And then years later, after my dad and mom got married, a man from Camp Baptist Temple came by, and my mom was pregnant with my brother, and witnessed to my dad, and my dad got saved. I wonder where we would be had they not made that decision. I wonder where I would be had I not obeyed God on where to go to Bible college. By the way, had two opportunities for my Bible college to be paid for full scholarship elsewhere. Jerry Falwell called me and told me told me he'd pay my whole way through Liberty. I told him where I was going. He said, "Well, what do they have that I don't have?" I said, "The will of God." He said, "Well, we'll see." I hadn't talked to Jerry in 30 plus years. He came to Brother Hyle's funeral. I walked up and shook his hand, told him my name. Jerry Falwell had a photographic memory. He said, "Craig Bush, I know that name. Wait a minute. You lived in Canton, Ohio, didn't you?" "Yes, sir." He said, "You're the young man that told me one day that you were coming here to go to college instead of coming to Liberty because it had the will of God." He said, "Guess you were right and I was wrong." "Yes, sir, you were." That's all I could say. I didn't know what else to say. Now, wait a minute. I wouldn't have the wife I have. Wouldn't have the children I have. Would not have the ministry I had. My grandmother's church offered to pay anywhere that their church, they had a million plus dollars sitting in the bank for college. But they wouldn't approve the college I went to. They said, "Well, if you go to one of these colleges, we'll pay your whole way, everything." I said, "Nope, not doing it." Say, "Preacher, you passed up all..." Yeah, passed up all that, so we have all this. I wonder where one bad decision based on money and convenience would have taken us. I wonder if that young man that was killed last week on a motorcycle would have died and gone to hell because I decided I was going to take somebody's money to go to college and make it easier on myself. Where would this church be had we all not just decided to obey God? One bad decision. One decision can affect for bad. By the way, one decision for good can affect a lot of good. My dad and mom's decisions were good decisions that have throughout many generations affected a lot of people for the good. I must quit. Elijah lived in and around godless leadership. But he remained strong spiritually. Your surroundings do not make you spiritual. Your walk with God does. Your leadership around you does not make you spiritual or unspiritual. Your walk with God makes you spiritual. I don't care how wicked and vile your boss is, you can do well at your work. I don't care how wicked the nation goes, we can live spiritually in a dark world. Our obedience to God should remain no matter how good or how bad the surroundings are around us. That's what God has to say about this in 2 Kings chapter 1. Every head bowed, every eye closed. A little bit of a different kind of Bible study, but very important in the life of Elijah. You'll see why next week, but we've just got to decide to stand on principle. We ought to seek God for leadership and not man. And we ought to realize that our decisions affect so many people for so long.